Good morning and welcome to the What Do You Think program. Today, we're having one of our candidates for the probate/district court judge. It's our current sitting judge that was appointed by Governor Gretchen Whitmer, and her name is Julian Ferris. We're going to give her the same questions and same time that we did for Miss Testalyn Rinke, Miss Jessica Testalyn Rinke. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself? I appreciate you coming in and doing this.
Sure. Thanks, Ross. I appreciate you having me here. And as he said, my name is Julian Ferris, and I am the current sitting probate court judge. I was appointed by the governor last year after Judge Harrington retired, and I have been on the bench since October 8th of 2025, along with being on the probate court bench. I also have the Huron County District Court that I preside over, and I am also the magistrate court judge currently in Huron County. So I'm handling three courts right now. I was born and raised, though, in Bad Axe. I started off as a teacher around this area and taught for 4 years before I went back to law school. After law school, I practiced in Atlanta, Georgia for 4 years, and then my dad talked me back into coming home. He's very persuasive. I came back to this community, and I continued coming back, like, all through when I taught school, when I was in law school, when I was in college. I always came back every summer to teach swimming lessons, and I am still teaching swimming lessons. I love it. It's my passion. It brings joy to my life. But I came back here, started practicing with my dad. He's had a very successful law practice right across the street from the courthouse.
Yeah.
And he started off with the Cubitts, actually, and worked with Gail and Dwayne Cubitt, and has been practicing for 50 years. And I was proud to take over his firm and just be back home, I guess.
Yeah.
Bad Axe, I always, that's home.
Well, I mean, you like the water. It has, you got the right area for it. I mean, there's plenty of water around.
I love the water. And that was probably the biggest thing I missed when I was in Atlanta, was the water. And people that understand, that they look out and they're amazed, or they're asked, how many acres are your lakes?
Acres.
Millions. Like, it's the Great Lakes. It's like looking out at the ocean. And I've always been just swimming my whole life and in and around the water. And it was something that was really important to me to share those skills, because you'd be surprised at how many people can't swim and we have so much water around.
It's kind of important to know.
It is. It's a very important skill. And I do love doing that. I have also really enjoyed being a judge, too. Taking on these new roles and learning these new things, it's been fun for me and exciting. And I really can't think of any part of the job I don't like, which is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to get into the questions. And there's a little bit of everything mixed in here. So the first one is, how should probate courts handle family disputes when the legal issue is only part of the conflict?
In probate, well, and I believe this in all the courts, I like alternative dispute resolution. It gives the parties an opportunity to privately go and hash out their issues with an impartial mediator. I like sending family issues to some type of facilitation or mediation first. A lot of times, especially with sensitive family issues, the courtroom isn't the appropriate place to have that. And to have them be able to sit down, voice their opinions, work things out, and come to their own settlement agreement, a lot of times gives them a sense of success, ownership, accomplishment, that even if it's not the best solution, they at least had a part in creating it.
Right.
And even in the court, especially in probate, I like listening to all the parties, getting everyone's point of view, seeing what's best for the individual that we're trying to help, and more input is best for me so that I know how to better serve the person that I'm trying to help.
And you're keeping them from airing dirty laundry.
I try to.
A mediated session.
Yes. And a lot of people do just want their moment in court. They want something, they have something to say, and they want to get that out. And I understand that, and I understand that it's important to them to have that opportunity to speak. So I do my best to try to make sure that every voice is heard and understood, too. I'll ask questions of them if I don't understand what they're saying. I'll repeat what they're saying in a different way to make sure that I'm understanding it and that other people are understanding it. So
good. Now, what alternatives to incarceration do you believe are underutilized?
Well, the incarceration is the punishment and also the deterrence. When you're looking at sentences for people, you want to deter recidivism, which means reoffending. You want to do that. You also want to kind of set an example for the community so that other people don't do the same offense. The other thing is rehabilitation. You want to try to rehabilitate the person so that they don't reoffend. And the last is jail, the punishment. But for rehabilitation, counseling and different counseling services, depending on areas that that individual might struggle in, different testing services, different rehabilitation. We have the drug court, the Thumb Regional Sobriety Court right now, and that deals with substance abuse as well as alcohol issues. And I would also like to get a regional mental health court, which is another alternative to jail, where they also have the opportunity to maybe get a lower charge or clear their record upon completion. And that is a real focused group of people that there's, you know, somebody from Veterans Affairs, somebody from the Housing Commission, somebody from probation, the judge, a defense attorney. It's a whole team, a whole team of people that work with this person. And what do you need? Do you need housing? Okay, we're going to help you with that. What do you need? Job training? We're going to try to get you some skills. Do you need a job? We're going to help you with applications, help you with interviews. So the mental health court, I think, would just be a great feature of our community. But we try to do that now. We have our pretrial services and we have our probation department, and there's different classes, counseling, things that testing that go in to help these people so that they don't reoffend and hopefully learn the error of their ways so I don't have to see them again in district court.
Frequent flyers are only good for airlines, not court.
Yes.
What's something the public misunderstands about judges?
Judges have the least amount of discretion. The legal system's like a pyramid, and on the bottom are the police officers, and they actually are out there with the people. And at that time, they have the biggest decision to make.
Mm-hmm.
They have to decide, you know, is this severe enough or, you know, not? Or should I just separate these people? Do I write the ticket? What do I write the ticket for? They have a lot of discretion. Then it goes up to like the prosecutors. The prosecutors can decide what charges they're going to bring. They have the police force behind them to gather the evidence. You know, am I going to bring this charge? Do I have enough evidence to support this charge? By the time it gets to the judge, the charges have been made. It's there. I just have to follow the law. I can't offer any deals. I can't either. I just have to make a decision. And I have to make a decision fairly and accurately based on the terms of the law. And so I don't have the discretion to say, oh, maybe I really think I would like to do this. I can't. I have to follow the law. So, and people don't understand that. They think that a judge has just all the power and we can,
right,
I'm going to say willy-nilly make decisions. there are strict guidelines and rules and things that we have to do for every decision we make.
Yeah. Now, my next question, a little different. What's the most difficult decision a judge makes that has absolutely nothing to do with the law?
My most difficult decision is figuring out what top I'm going to wear under the robe where the thing's not going to stick out weird or make me look funny. I would say personnel decisions just within the court, trying to get things organized, who's going to do what job, what times are we going to do things, setting up the whole behind the scenes, getting used to getting my calendar ready, how I want files arranged, how far in advance I want my files brought to me or things like that. So the decision of how I wanted the court set up, how I wanted my calendar organized, how like that, because you have a whole staff underneath you that needs to be able to follow this, understand it, and work together to do it.
Your expectations.
Correct. So doing that doesn't have anything to do with the law, but it's the administrative portion of the job that's behind the scenes.
And that's kind of what I was looking for, you know? What's the greatest danger in judicial power?
I would say letting that power go to your head, thinking that you're better than the people that appear before you. A judge isn't. We're on the same standard, the same level of everyone else, and I treat people with that respect and that courtesy. I expect them to treat me with that respect and courtesy, not because I'm the judge and we're in a courtroom, but because I'm another human and like being nice to people.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you're getting sworn in, can't go to Walmart anymore, but has that worked out for you? Been able to shop at Walmart?
I have been able to shop at Walmart. I have only gotten stopped on a handful of occasions and had people try to plead their case. And I am always polite and nice and, you know, say hello to them and tell them that I remember them. And this isn't the proper place to discuss your case.
Right. Exactly. How do you identify your own blind spots being a judge?
I ask my staff. I ask my mentor judges. I ask the people around me to tell me if I'm doing something wrong or if I let me know. If this is a silly thing that I'm doing, let me know. I like feedback. I welcome feedback. I enjoy bouncing ideas off people and coming up with the best decision. So I by no means am perfect, and I tell my staff yes, if I'm doing something that's goofy or I'm doing something incorrectly or you'd rather me do something the other way, point that out to me so that I can change. And I'm not afraid to change.
That's good. You should all be willing to do that. This one is a little different than the way I formed it for Jessica, because you're a sitting judge and she is not currently, so we're handled them appropriately. What is one measurable improvement that you've achieved within your first terms, and what steps have you taken to achieve that goal?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Yep. What is one measurable improvement that you've achieved in your first term, and what steps have you taken in order to achieve that goal?
I would say just efficiency in the courtrooms. Things seem very backed up when I got into office. And so creating a procedure to efficiently get the cases through so that I have enough time to spend with each case and also not too much time so that things don't continue to get backed up. But we've got everything going smoothly now. We have no deficient cases. Everything has been good. But again, it goes back to the administrative part and setting up that calendar and blocking off times and deciding when you're going to do things or not do things to make things run better. So I think that especially in probate court, we've got a really good system going. And between district and magistrate, it was a little hectic. It's such a busy court, but we're getting it down and things are getting smoother and running better every day.
Yeah, I know from covering the court cases there that for me, my schedule depends a lot on your schedule and how it's going. And sometimes things get dropped and a lot things get added too unexpectedly. So it's kind of a big variable.
It is. And I don't know when I show up in the morning what's expected. I don't know how many arraignments we may have. I don't know how many warrants are going to come in. They're adding weddings all the time. You got to witness a wedding while you were there.
Terrible, yeah.
We stuck that in the middle of arraignments, I think.
Yep.
So, but yes, the schedule is constantly changing. I don't really know what's coming. Like you said, things are added and taken off all the time. And so, yeah, you have to be flexible. You have to be ready, prepared.
You do, for sure. And I want to give you a chance to talk here in a second, but I want to give people out there familiarity with the caseload. So you've got circuit court, district court, and probate court. Your circuit court is where a lot of your criminal cases end up once they've gone through the process through district court.
Only felonies.
Right. And so when you're looking at the courts, district court is home base. That's where you start off.
Yes.
And then it progresses, but it could end up right back in district court at some point. And then again, move to circuit court. So
yes.
There's a lot of ping pong back and forth. Probate court's a little different, though. So in 2023, circuit court had 584 cases that year. District court had 3,281 cases, and probate court had 343. It doesn't sound like much, but when you look at it, probate court carries over to the next year and the next year until these people die. So
for the most part, yes.
Yes. So
their estate finally gets settled. Sometimes yes. We're waiting on a house to sell, or sometimes there's a life estate. And so we have to wait for another person to pass away before we could sell the house.
Right. I didn't even think of that.
Sometimes if it's just like maybe the person got in a car accident and has a guardian and now they've recovered, they'll come off my caseload. But a lot of times when you get a guardian or a conservator or are under a mental incapacitation or a developmental disability, yeah, you don't.
A lot of times it's severe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so those 343 that were there in 2023, most of those carry over till 2024. And in 2024, there were 630 circuit court cases, 3,636 district cases, and 335 new probate cases.
Yes.
So you add the 343 from the year before to the 335 that year. And then it goes to 2025. This is our most current because we're currently in 2026. Circuit court had 601. District court had 3,725. And probate court added another 348 that year. So district court, circuit court, they see them, they get it, sentence, done. Probate court, goes on. So they keep carrying over for the most part.
I did not know you were going to bring this up or ask me these questions, but I did pull my current open cases in probate court. And I did this last Thursday. And as of last Thursday, I had 3,527 open cases currently active in probate court.
And that's from the years prior.
All years prior. Yeah. So this year so far, and I said I looked it up last Thursday, and that was the 176th day of the year. To that date, we had opened 144 cases already. And so it's close to one a day that we open.
Yeah, because you're not on weekends. So, yeah, about one a day. So just give everybody out their perspective. This is a big job. Like she said, you're dealing with somebody running for a probate court judge / district court judge and also is in the role of a magistrate, where circuit court is circuit court. So this is not a whimsical decision that needs to be made. You need to put thought into it, make an intelligent and informed decision, and that's why we're doing this. So you can get familiar with the candidates that are running. Now, I gave Jessica some time to talk at the end, so I'm going to give you time to talk about anything we've covered, not covered. It's your time, whatever you want.
Me as a teacher, as a judge, as a student my whole life, I'm very prepared. I always like to be prepared. It makes me nervous if I don't have the proper preparation, because that's on me. If I, as a lawyer, go out and do my best and still lose the case, at least I knew that I did my best. I did everything I could. I prepared to the utmost for this person. And I do that in everything I do. I couldn't imagine going into a courtroom without my trial packet, where I have my questions of what I'm going to ask, my cross-direct. I have questions that I think the other side might ask, and then responses and case law. And to go into a classroom, I couldn't imagine having 30 pairs of little eyes on me without having my lesson plan or my teacher's manual. And I know when I was applying for this job, one of the questions they asked is who you looked up to or wanted to aspire to be. And I said, Judge Krause. And Judge Krause would write out every single question, have all the cases printed out, have read everything in advance. He'd ask more questions as the judge than the attorneys would. So I like to be prepared. I like to have everything in front of me. I don't want to miss anything. I take good notes. Make sure that I have everything in order. I enjoy being the judge. It's been a challenge, though, switching roles, switching hats. It's hard for me. That's probably the most challenging thing that I faced.
Switching hats from attorney to judge?
Yes.
From probate judge to district judge?
I have to do that on a daily basis, of switching my hats and making sure, well, this one is the helping court, this one's more the punishment court or problem solving, you know, so
yeah.
I have to switch my hat in those situations. That was and is easier for me than it was being an attorney for so long and helping people through these things, advising them legally. For me now to sit on the bench and not be able to give them advice and not be able to help, to just have to sit and listen and then make a decision has been hard. And I've caught myself a couple times flipping back into lawyer mode, like, gee, you should just, ooh, can't do that. I'm the judge. So,
difference.
But I really enjoy the job. I enjoy the people I work with. I have had wonderful people appear before me. Everyone's been respectful, and I really appreciate that. And I would like to remain the probate court judge of Huron County, and I would encourage everyone to come out and vote in November.
Yeah. And if you haven't, you're welcome. Circuit and district courts are both open to the public. You can go in, you can sit, you can observe and see how our court system works. We've seen classrooms go in and sit and observe, and it's a great thing.
I actually was looking through old paperwork, and I found when I, as a student in high school, went in and observed Judge Krause, and I had to write a paper on the arraignment. So,
wow.
But yes, the courts are open. Even the probate court is open to the public. It's just a much smaller court, and usually more personal issues are before the probate court.
Yeah, we choose not to cover them because it is family, and we don't like to air family. So it's mostly misdemeanors, felonies, things of that nature.
And the criminal part is a small percentage of the population. The majority of people are good people and will need the probate court because like I said, we're all going to get old.
Yeah.
We're all going to pass away. And so your chances of needing the probate court in your life are pretty good.
So absolutely. Yeah.
Hopefully you don't need the district or the circuit court, because hopefully you're not being sued, or hopefully you're not being charged with a crime. So,
well, I want to thank you for coming in and helping us get to know you better and hearing what you had to say. So don't forget, we will have this on the thumbnet.net webpage for you to listen to again if you want to listen to them back to back. This will air, let's see, today's going to be, it's the second Wednesday of July. So next week we will have Jessica Testelin-Rinke on, and you can listen to hers and then compare them side by side by listening to the What Do You Think program online. I appreciate you coming in.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me. It was fun. And hopefully you can have me back sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Look forward to it. We'll get back to regular programming.